Welcome to NFP for Life with Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
You need to be able to educate yourself to understand what the Catholic Church teaches.
We need to understand our gifts and our abilities, and it's really about fertility awareness and responsible parenthood.
Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified OBGYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife, Betty, are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
God so wanted us to know the meaning and purpose of existence that he built it right into us.
A chaste lifestyle means joy and freedom.
If we promote it and promote it effectively, we will change the way people think about natural family planning.
It's a new journey in our faith.
And now, here are your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our program, NFP for Life. I'm Dr. Les Ruppersberger, and I'm here with my lovely wife.
Hi, and I'm Betty Ruppersberger.
And we're glad to be back with you here this lovely Friday afternoon to talk about all things about natural family planning. But before we begin our program, I'll let Betty open with a prayer.
In the name of
the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Prayer for the family. Lord God, from every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. Father, you are love and life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, born of woman, and through the Holy Spirit, fountain of divine charity, grant that every family on this earth may become, for each successive generation, a true shrine of life and love. Grant that your grace may guide the thoughts and actions of husbands and wives for the good of their families and all the families in the world. Grant that the young may find in the family solid support for their human dignity and for their growth in truth and love. Grant that love, strengthened by the grace of the sacrament of marriage, may prove mightier than all the weaknesses and trials through which our families sometimes pass. Through the intercession of the Holy Family of Nazareth, grant that the Church may be fruitfully carry out her worldwide mission in the family and through the family, through Christ our Lord, who is the way, the truth, and the life, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that prayer was from our upcoming and soon-to-be canonized Pope John Paul II, who was a huge proponent of natural family planning. And our program today, we're very excited this time every year to bring to you a discussion on NFP, or Natural Family Planning Awareness Week. That week will be celebrated this coming Sunday, July 21st through July 27, 2013. And so we would like to touch on some topics that we think are important during this week. Although I honestly believe that we should be celebrating NFP awareness 52 weeks out of the year and not just 1 week out of the year, but we will bring to you some highlights of exactly why this particular week has been designated as the week to celebrate NFP awareness. We also would like to let you know that we are live and our program lines are open. We are at 215-345-1570. And we would welcome and invite anyone who is out there listening to give us a call and let us know what they think about the celebration of this week. We would like them to let us know if they've ever, we would really like to hear if anyone out there has who's listening to the program has not heard of natural family planning, because that is what the Awareness Week celebration is all about, is making people aware. And then we'd also like to hear from people who have heard about natural family planning, but maybe heard about it a little bit later in life or came upon it quite by accident. We'd like you to share with us a little bit about when you heard about it and whether or not it has made a difference in your life and whether or not it has changed anything in your life. But to start out a little bit, I just want to read to you what the definition from the USCCB is on what Natural Family Planning Awareness Week is. It is a national educational campaign. Natural Family Planning Program of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops develops a poster each year, and this year's poster is celebrating pro-woman, pro-man, and pro-child. And every year they develop a theme. And I want to speak to a little bit about that because as an English major in college, I do think that words and language mean something. So this poster is developed each year with supportive materials, and it's up to the individual diocese, however, that offers a variety of educational formats in the local church to focus attention on natural family planning methods and church teachings which support their use in marriage. The dates of Natural Family Planning Awareness Week highlight the anniversary of the papal encyclical Humanae Vitae, which was released by Pope Paul VI on July 25, 1968. And this encyclical articulates Catholic beliefs about human sexuality, conjugal love, and responsible parenthood. And the dates also mark the feast of Saints Joachim and Anne on July 26th, who are the parents of the Blessed Mother. So I'm going to turn over for a couple of minutes and let Betty talk a little bit about Humanae Vitae because it's one of her favorite topics. And then she's going to tell you a little bit about Saint Anne and Saint Joachim as the parents of Mary and the grandparents of Jesus and why this particular week is celebrating all of these events.
Well, Humanae Vitae, again, written by Pope Paul VI in 1968, was an encyclical that came out. And at that time, the world wanted to, the cultural world, and even some of the Catholic world, wanted the Catholic Church to finally decide that we as Catholics were going to be able to use contraception. And up until that time, we were not and still are not. It's not acceptable in our church. But before that, 1930, up until 1930, all Christian churches did not allow for contraception. And then in 1930, with the Lambeth Conference, they opened the door a crack and said, within a marriage, for grave reasons only, and this was in 1930, that they would allow contraception. But through the course of time and the sexual revolution and the woman's movement and everything else that went along in our culture, it became more and more common use for contraception. And the birth control pill being brought in 1960, 8 years later, our church was still fighting against that and is still fighting against that to this day, although many Catholics don't understand what the church teaches or why it even teaches against contraception. They think it's, you know, why would they do that? They're not being catechized on the understanding of it. But in 1968, when Pope Paul VI wrote this encyclical, he wanted to allow Catholics to understand what the meaning of true love is, and not use, but love, and that marriage is sacred, and that we are called to be responsible parents, and that there is a reason why our church teaches that we are not allowed to use contraception. And to simplify it, it is because they care about us. They care about our bodies and our families and our health and our souls. And what the evil of contraception is doing to our culture. And a lot of people don't realize, but after 50 years, we've had two generations grow up in a contraceptive mentality because it's always been with them. But the reason why Pope Paul VI said that if we allow contraception, it's going to be the breakdown of the family. And there is going to be more divorce and more children born out of wedlock and more sexually transmitted diseases, more pornography, more abortion. You know, more evils that will go on, and it's all stemming from contraception. When in fact, the the ability to understand our bodies and to understand our fertility as a gift is a true gift from God, and that not everyone gets that gift of fertility, and that we have to honor that. And in order to be able to space our families, because the church wants us to be responsible parents and to realize that they do not expect us to have as many children as we could possibly have, but to be responsible in our parenthood, to be able to clothe and feed and educate our children, and that they would allow us to use natural family planning. And it's such an empowering thing that we're not being heard, we're not being listened to, it's not obvious to people that they don't need to contracept and spend money and make the pharmaceutical industry rich, but that it's so simple and so easy that it's a God-given design that God has made for men and women, and that we should learn about it and understand it and be able to space our children and to be loving, caring parents and spouses to one another.
And all this ultimately has culminated in John Paul's 40 years later writing a Theology of the Body over a period of 5 years at the beginning of his pontificate, and having that published. And it relates to the dignity of the person. And I want to speak for a moment on this this year's logo that was selected by the USCCB called Pro-Woman, Pro-Man, and Pro-Child. A woman is spelled A-N rather than E-N, talking about one woman. And man is obviously as it's is pronounced. However, they're not talking about any specific man or woman. They're talking about the way men and women were created in the image and likeness of God. And when John Paul talks about theology of the body, he talks about going back to the beginning. And the first reading this Sunday at Mass is from the book of Genesis. And so these readings are selected specifically for these liturgical celebrations to relate to particular events and particular things that are going on in the church. The responsorial psalm, "He who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord." The second reading from Colossians, "The mystery hidden for centuries has now been revealed to men," and the gospel where Jesus talks with Mary and Martha. So these readings and this logo refer to the dignity of the person. Each and every one of us were given a body for a specific purpose, and each and every one of us were given a specific type of body based by gender on God's plan for his design for life and love and our world. The plan did go off a little bit with sin, but Jesus came to make that plan right again. And natural family planning is part of that entire plan. So when you're talking about natural family planning being pro-man, it restores the dignity of the man to the original state of innocence in which he was created before sin. When you're talking about natural family planning in a marriage for women, you are restoring to women the dignity with which they were created and the purpose for which they were created. And I'll let Betty talk a little bit about the bringing of new life into the world and what that meaning is, that it's so sacred and so holy and so reverent that women were given a particular anatomical creation and focus specifically for one purpose and one purpose only, to co-create new life and bring new life into the world. And then pro-child, God's plan for his world, God's plan for his kingdom, God's plan for his heaven, if you will, is to share his love with humans. And the only way that you can have humans is through procreation. And procreation was designed to occur in a marriage only. So let me just fill in for you a little bit about, again, definitions. The church teaches us that the sacrament of marriage symbolizes Christ's relationship with his church. What is this relationship but one that is total and faithful and permanent and fruitful? If you want to know whether or not you have true love for another, then ask yourself, does your love fulfill these four elements? Is it total? You give your entire self, including your fertility, to the other. Is it faithful? You only give it to the other, not anyone else. You don't share it with anyone else. It's not a series of monogamous relationships. It's monogamy from the time that you make the vow and make the commitment until death. Is it fruitful? Are you allowing and being open to the possibility of children? And these are the vows that men and women take when they approach the altar in the sacrament of matrimony. When couples live their vocation according to the church teachings, especially with regard to the transmission of life, many benefits can be reaped from this commitment. Indeed, married couples who use natural family planning report that among these benefits is their mutual growth in holiness and consequent deepening of their respect and their awe of God's gifts of human sexuality, marriage, and family. These are the gifts that call for praise. We should be celebrating these gifts. We should be celebrating the awareness of these gifts every week of the year, not just NFP Awareness Week, but we want to emphasize this particular week because of the anniversary celebration about Humanae Vitae and the church's teaching on life and love and babies and bonding. Since prayer and liturgy are at the heart of a Catholic faith-filled life, it's important to plan prayer events that reflect on God's plan for married love. In addition, I would challenge those who are listening who are priests and deacons, bishops, anyone who has the authority to give a homily, if you have never given a homily before on natural family planning, please pray to the Holy Spirit and consider giving your first homily someday next week, beginning with Sunday and running through Saturday. There are liturgies that are celebrated throughout every Mass and every church every day in every parish in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and on many parishes, on campuses, and different chapels, and altars, and convents, and different places. So I would ask anyone out there who's considering, please pray and consider a homily on some aspect of natural family planning. Please encourage married couples to pray about God's plan for their families. What is His will? You know, dying to oneself, your love and your marriage is a 100% commitment. It's not a 50-50 deal. And so when the husband gives himself to the wife, it's 100%. So you need to die unto yourself. You need to go through a kenosis. You need to go through a change that will allow you to say, well, it's not about me. It's about her. What does she want? What will fulfill her desires and needs? And I love her so much that I'm going to give that to her. And then she turns around and says, well, wait a minute, no, it's really not about me either. I love you so much that I want to fulfill your needs. And everybody's needs gets fulfilled through this total commitment and this total giving. So it's not about getting, it's about getting. And when you go in, enter into this prayerful state about asking yourself as married couples, what is God's will? Is it time to welcome another child into the family? And only through prayerful discernment will you come to a realization of what it is that God wants for you at that particular point in time. I would also point out to you that every Sunday when we say the Creed at Mass, we get to that paragraph toward the end of the Creed that states, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds, comes out of, the Father and the Son. So the Father loves the Son so much, and the Son loves the Father so much that their 100% unconditional love for one another begets a third person, in the Blessed Trinity, the Lord, the giver of life. And in the marital union, the husband and the wife love each other so much that in the presence of this Holy Spirit, this love, this third person of the Blessed Trinity, a third person comes into existence for all of eternity. And I'm going to let Betty talk just briefly about where this third person resides for 9 months before it's delivered in a sort of anatomic representation.
Right. Well, you know, in the theology of the body, John Paul II, he said in the beginning, you know, he made Adam and all the birds and animals and everything else. And the last thing that he made was woman. But he didn't make woman from the land or the earth or anything. All the other things were made that way, except for woman. And woman was made from the rib of Adam when he was in a deep sleep. So this woman is connected to the man through this creation of man, of woman. So when God made Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And he gave woman the greatest gift, the crowning jewel, he called it. She was the crowning jewel of all creation because she was going to be the one who could bring and carry new life into the world. Her womb was the tabernacle to bring new life, so that woman was the one that had the greatest and glorious job of bringing new life, of carrying new life, because it would take two and three, because of the Holy Spirit, to create new life. So we were all considered co-creators with the Holy Spirit. And what a gift it was to woman. But Satan didn't like that. So instead of Satan going after Adam, he went after the woman. He went after Eve. And he made her sin and create the original sin because he wanted to stop new life from being brought into this world. And even today, through the centuries and thousands of years, it seems to me, in my mind, that Satan is still attacking the woman. He's attacking her with her fertility, with her gift of being able to bring new life, with the infertility issues, so that she'll go into doing IVF and things like that. Because we have instilled in us as women, to want to bring new life, to want to be mothers, and we don't all get that gift. So we get desperate and we try other things to create new life, thinking that it's, you know, we have control of everything when we don't. So we have to realize that we're the bringers of new life and what a beautiful role that is. So instead of culturally pushing that aside and saying, no, it's not a good time now, I don't want to bring new life into the world, I'll seek other methods to remove this child or whatever. This is a gift, and God has chosen woman to bring new life. He has chosen us. So we have to honor this gift as women. And I encourage anyone out there listening that would like to join in our conversation today to give us a call at 215-345-1570. Another thing that's going to happen during this course of Natural Family Planning Awareness Week is going to be the feast of St. Anne and St. Joachim. And some people say Joachim, and it just depends on where you're raised, how it's said. But St. Anne was my mother's favorite saint because my mother was a grandmother of many. She had 34 grandchildren, and it was her favorite saint. And on her feast, we would go to her parish, and they would venerate her during her feast day. But St. Anne struggled with her fertility, Anne and Joachim. And each year, the church venerates the memories of St. Anne and St. Joachim on July 26th. And an ancient story dating back to the first centuries of the church recalls how Saints Anne and Joachim and Abraham and Sarah were scorned by their neighbors because they had no children. Years of longing did not weaken their trust in God, but grief eventually drove St. Joachim into the wilderness to fast and pray. And St. Anne, remaining at home, she dressed in her mourning clothes and wept because she had no child of her own. Seeing her mistress distressed, a servant girl reminded Anne to put trust in God. And St. Anne washed her face, put on her bridal clothes, went out to the garden, and pleaded with God for a child. Angels appeared to St. Anne in her garden and St. Joachim in the desert, promising that, despite their old age, they would give birth to a child who would be known throughout the world. How amazing is that? The new parents ran to meet one another at Jerusalem's Golden Gate and with a kiss rejoiced in the new life which God had promised would be theirs. St. Anne and St. Joachim are powerful intercessors for all married couples, expectant mothers, married couples who are having difficulty conceiving, and as well as older couples. So this is a beautiful story about St. Anne and St. Joachim. And as I was saying earlier, I didn't realize that an angel appeared to both of them to tell them that they were going to have a child that was known throughout the world. How amazing is this, that Mary would be chosen and Anne would be chosen to be the tabernacle to bring new life into this world, our Blessed Mother. It's just a beautiful feast day to be celebrated on July 26th.
And imagine, we don't frequently think of or talk about Jesus in the context of having grandparents.
I know.
But we all have, you know, those of us who have older children who have grandparents, it's a similar type of relationship that Jesus is growing up, and imagine Anne and Joachim are floating around as grandparents, and, you know, did he call them grandma and grandpa or pop-pop or, you know, what was the appropriate Hebrew term for it? And here's Mary, and they dedicate her to the temple, and imagine the feeling that St. Anne must have had when she conceived Mary in her womb without sin, conceived without sin, and carried her for 9 months and then delivered her. And then Mary was destined to be the new Eve, the tabernacle, the beginning of the new restoration of the original plan that God had for life and love, the original plan that God had for paradise and heaven, the original plan that God had for all of us to be loved into infinity and eternity by the loving God that called us and brought us into the world. And culturally, what are we doing with contraception? We're saying against life, we're saying no to God's plan, we're saying no to life and to love, we're saying no, I'm going to take a bite of that apple, I'm going to eat that apple because I want what I want and I'm not interested in God's plan. So we're all called to step back this week and just take a moment to think about and pray upon and meditate upon, what is God's plan? Why was I created? Why did God bring me into the world? What's my purpose? And why did God give me as a gift to my parents? And who are my grandparents? And if they're still alive, give them a call this week. Give them a call, rattle them up, talk to them and say, hey, Grandma, hey, Pop-Pop, just wanted to let you know, I was thinking today's the feast day of St. Anne and St. Joachim, July 26th. And they were the grandparents. Did you know that they were the names of the grandparents of Jesus? And if you're seeing any of your friends, walk around and say, you know, trivia question. Who are the names of Jesus' grandmother and grandfather? See what they have to say. See how many people actually know that. So, as we mentioned earlier in the program, we are live at 215-345-1570. We're on NFP for Life. Betty and I are here. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call and let us know. If there are any priests or deacons, especially deacons, that are listening, if you've ever given a homily on NFP, give us a call and let us know what maybe motivated you to give that homily, maybe a little bit of substance about what the homily was about, and what was the reaction? Did any of the parishioners come up to you after Mass and say, hey, that was pretty interesting, or how dare you bring that up in church, or what do you mean by talking about that? Because this whole homily business is really a very sensitive and very touchy issue, and it's not a time that's appropriate for coming up with information and articles about infertility and things like that. But it is a time to mention, and at least the words natural family planning. There are so many Catholics who attend Mass on a regular basis out there in the church that in our travels, with Betty and I traveling around, it's one of the reasons why we feel that this program is so important, because, you know, one Friday every month, we get to say the words natural family planning over and over and over again. Fertility awareness, biologically knowing the time of a woman's cycle when a woman is fertile and has the ability to either achieve a pregnancy or through prayerful discernment with her husband, postpone a pregnancy for a justifiable reason based on their decisions of responsible parenthood, which is what Humanae Vitae is all about, and which Humanae Vitae addresses very specifically. So just for an example, with the readings that are available on Monday, it's the feast day of St. Mary Magdalene. Now, you all know who St. Mary Magdalene was, and you all would think, well, what the heck does she have to do with anything? Well, you know that Mary Magdalene was a woman of ill repute. And you know that she was, you know, a sinner. And you know that Jesus, they were getting ready to stone her, traditionally, as that Mary is the same Mary that they talk about in the Gospels, which many scripture experts believe. And as Jesus started writing in the sand, and nobody knows what he wrote, everybody kind of dissipated and walked away, because Jesus turned around and said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. So we all make mistakes. So we're not here to criticize anyone who may be listening, who may have contracepted or may have had a sterilization or whatever the case may be. But today's readings on Monday will deal with difficult or impossible situations. And during NFP Awareness Week, we need to be mindful that many couples come up to difficult and impossible situations. They don't have the money to be able to afford another child. They're diagnosed with some particular illness where a physician will tell them, you should never have another child. You should never have another baby. You have a medical issue. You should never conceive and get pregnant ever again. Well, maybe that's God's plan. But it's not God's plan for you to stop giving yourself totally, fruitfully, and faithfully in your marital covenant that you promised on the day that you got married to your spouse. So what do you do? Well, you use natural family planning methods and techniques, and you take a class and you learn, and it's very easy to do that. It's very difficult to make that decision, but NFP is authentic family planning in that it can be used to both attempt the pregnancy for those who are struggling with fertility and also to postpone a pregnancy through responsible parenthood discernment. So it is as effective as every other method out there. I would defy anyone to call me on the phone and tell me that they know for a fact that it's less effective than any other artificially advertised contraceptive method. They all advertise 98-99%. Well, I'm here to tell you, NFP is 98-99% if you use it properly. So why would you want to spend money? Why would you want to use chemicals and plastic and drugs and copper and surgery and anesthesia and all these other things to thwart your natural biology, your gift? It's like saying, you know, Betty and I are married 43 years, and it's like my going out and buying Betty an anniversary gift, and I want to give her a diamond bracelet. And she says, no, I don't want this. You shouldn't have done it. And she gives it back to me. I said, well, I already paid for it. I want to give it to you as a sign of my love. And she says, no, I don't want it. Take it back. And I said, no, you have to take it. So she takes it, and later on I find it laying on the floor. And I pick it up and I give it back to her. And I say, come on, I brought this as a gift. I don't want your gift. I don't want your sign of your love. That's what you're saying in the bedroom, in your marital embrace, when you're saying no with your fertility. Say, I don't want your fertility. I'm not interested right now. And there are times of the month that you are, you know, biologically infertile. So we have to continue to fight this good fight of living our Christian values in an increasingly hostile society. We know the secret to living marriage successfully and living peaceful among one another lies in our own conversion and in recognizing God's image in each other. That person that you're married to, she or he was created in the image and likeness of God. She is a physical, or he is a physical manifestation of who God is. Tiny little piece, not all of God, but a tiny little piece. And so John Paul, the theology, the logos, the word of God, is in the body, in the meaning of the body. And so we're called to respect and embrace this dignity. And in marriage, above all, this is most important, because this is where children are taught and learn how to relate to others by recognizing the importance of conversion and forgiveness that they see in the image of God and in how their parents treat each other and how they behave in relationship to other people. All of that from the readings on Monday about Mary Magdalene and her feast day. So I would again invite anyone who may be listening, who you have 2 days, this is Friday, to either call your rectory or send an email or maybe stop by, or if you see one of your priests or deacons and say, hey, Father Smith, hey, Father Jones, hey, Deacon so-and-so, listen, I need to do me a favor. Next week is Natural Family Planning Awareness Week. The USCCV website has homily notes and has information. How about if you do us a favor, because where else would Catholics that are authentically Catholic, who haven't heard the word, where else would they hear Natural Family Planning Awareness? Where else would they hear that phrase other than in church from the lips of a priest or a deacon during a homily? You don't have to explain what it is. You don't have to tell them they can take a class. But where else would they hear it?
I think that most of us have never heard it. And we need to have it communicated to us more. In subtle ways even. Just the dignity of the person. We have that opportunity now with the theology of the body. And when you speak that word, dignity, you realize, what am I doing? What am I doing to myself or to the other? Why am I not waiting for marriage? I mean, it has so many ideas and thoughts and connotations around that word, dignity, to care for yourself and for the other and for your children. You know, sometimes I think about there's so many campaigns out there now about bullying. And, you know, when I was a kid, if somebody was bullied, well, you know, you just picked yourself up and went home and you took care of it somehow. I want to be able to envision a campaign on NFP that people realize that this is a natural, easy, proper way to conduct yourself within a marriage, and that our sexuality is a gift, and that we shouldn't be abusing it. We should be more dignified in the way we handle ourselves and the way we treat others, and we're not using others, but loving and caring and kind. So
Tuesday's readings, a feast day of St. Bridget the Religious, and the Gospels from Matthew, here are my mother and my brothers. In the Our Father, we always say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. This petition recognizes that our ultimate happiness comes from not getting our own way, but from following God's way. Not from tending to self-interest, but from looking out for our neighbor's best interest. In Luke's version of this gospel, kinship belongs to those who hear the word of God and act upon it, and listening to the word and acting on it characterizes those who are mother and brother and sister to Jesus. So once again, natural family planning promotes listening between the spouses by expecting them to communicate not only about their fertile times of the wife's menstrual cycle, but also about their desires of each spouse to have another child. Imagine that. You actually have a conversation in your marital commitment about whether or not you're going to have another child or not have another child. The husband, in particular, you guys out there, you need to pay attention not only to the physical state of your wife, but also to her deeper desires, as the wife needs to listen to her husband's desires. It's a conversation about one of the most serious topics, if not the most serious topic, of bringing new life into the world. The church has always taught that a couple should be open to God's desires for their family. So again, Tuesday's readings from the Feast of St. Bridget speak to those issues directly through those readings. Betty's going to go into Wednesday a little bit and tell you a little bit about what those readings might be able to relate to us.
On Wednesday, the 24th, the theme for the gospel of that day is control. Who's in charge, God or people? The alternative of control is trust. And I think that trust is really a difficult thing for a lot of people. They lack trust for the person that truly loves them. And that is something that they need to work on and pray about and ask God to give them the grace to trust. The people in the desert wanted to be in control of their own destiny. While they had been called into the desert to be taught to trust in God. And when they trust in God, the Red Seas parted for them, and manna was given to them, and God provides for them. And when they go off on their own, things don't work out so well. There's a tension, and it's going to take a while to learn to trust. 40 years of trial and suffering and miracles. That's how long it took for the Israelites in the desert.
I guess we're past that because we're married 43, right?
Well, and contraception's 50 years old, too, right. You know? But the human obsession with control can readily be seen in the area of family planning. And in the American culture, it encourages people to control their reproductive processes by technology and chemicals and medical means. So we're trying to control everything around us. We got to take that control back. We got to take our power back. These means of contraception and sterilization do more than attempt to control human fertility. They disrespect God's design for marital love. So NFP allows a husband and a wife to make a decision about their reproductive future in a way that does not alter their biology, but respects it. It's called the dignity of the person again. It calls the couple to be more responsible, not more manipulative, to look at the well-being of the other and the marriage and not just your own desires. NFP calls for husbands and wives to trust in God and respect the natural functions of their bodies. So it also allows one to conceive more effectively, if that's what's desired, because it allows us to postpone a pregnancy if we're not able to bring another child into the world at this time. You know, there's a great freedom for those who walk by faith and not by sight. The freedom comes from being able to live a lifestyle which respects the image of God. And in oneself and one's family and one neighbor and one's neighbor. So in the greatest value is not how much one has, but who one is. Who's richer from the Christian perspective? The theologians and philosophers of the medieval times, in talking about God, says goodness diffuses itself. It wants to be shared by many. So those of us that practice NFP, the goodness of God, we need to share this with our friends and relatives. If our culture is so good, why don't we want to have more children? So that we can share them with others. It's a beautiful thing. And I've said this before. My mother had 9 children. And in her old age, she said her greatest wealth were her children and her grandchildren for all of eternity. You know, it's difficult sometimes. People feel overwhelmed. But in your old age, when you look back, you realize what a gift God has presented to you to give you children and grandchildren. NFP offers us a way out of that culture of death, and it celebrates the culture of life.
Now, Thursday is the anniversary, as we mentioned earlier, of Humanae Vitae, and it's also the feast day of St. James the Apostle. And the first reading from Corinthians is summarized, "We carry always in our bodies the death of Jesus." And the gospel from Matthew says, "You shall indeed drink my cup." So seeking privileged places is natural for humans, and especially parents that are ambitious for their children to achieve greatness and be important. But more fundamentally, people are the most happy when they can connect with others, become part of something greater, give of themselves to that something greater, and be fruitful, have something come out of that giving. So the mother of James and John was really ambitious for her children and their future status in the kingdom of God. But in the gospel, Jesus points to the real basis of happiness, the sacrifice implied by drinking the cup. And so there is a certain amount of sacrifice, and there is a certain amount of dying to yourself and giving up your own desires and your own wants and your own needs. And there was a very specific reason why Paul VI released his encyclical to the world on this feast day of St. James the Apostle. As the saying goes, what one lives for, one should be willing to die for. Marriage is one of the ways that a person can find such a purpose. It is here that a man or a woman can connect with one's spouse and become part of a family, something greater. This is when you give yourself to the other, and the fruit that comes out of it will be the fruit of your children. When it's done right, the marriage of one man to one woman benefits both the spouses, their children, the extended family, the community, and a nation. Everyone benefits and finds great happiness. Isn't that what we need in our society? Aren't we suffering? Don't we hear the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth? Aren't we just grinding to a halt? Aren't our families falling apart? Isn't our culture and our society going down a slippery slope with all of the things that you hear that are happening every day? If you want this happiness back, you can get it, and it's right there in front of us. And this week celebrates one of the greatest gifts that we can possibly have to achieve this happiness. NFP subjects the will of the spouses to the greater good of marriage and ultimately to God's will, because He wants us to be happy. He loves us. Remember, we are God's children. He is our Father. Which of you fathers and mothers out there would not want what is best for your children? And when your children go off and do something wrong, don't you lament? Aren't you sad? Don't you wish that they would do the right thing when they make bad choices? But what do? You forgive them, and you continue loving them, and you continue trying to lead them, and you parent them until the day you die. So we need to create a culture of respect and require at times restraint in how we deal with one another. It's part of the learning to conquer the little will. It's not everything done perfectly. It's little perfections done willingly. You know, St. Teresa used to tell us these things. You need to die unto yourself and turn yourself over to God and not look to self-interest, but what's best for your marriage and on how you can learn to serve your family and not lord it over them. And this path ends in holiness. So that's the feast day of St. James. Betty's going to talk a little bit about now the readings from the feast of St. Joachim and St. Anne next Friday, July 26th.
July 26th, the feast day. It says in the first reading of that day, it's about Exodus, and the Ten Commandments are given. And they're the laws which was expressed the covenant between the Lord and his people. The Ten Commandments help us to understand how to act lovingly towards God and towards our neighbor. And when it comes to marriage, the Ten Commandments talk about not committing adultery and tells us the importance of not coveting one's neighbor's spouse, but they also speak about children, how to honor their parents. In addition to the Ten Commandments, God's laws regarding marital love are found throughout sacred scripture, especially in Genesis, accounts which speak of men and women created in equal dignity, again, that word dignity, as images of God, where the woman is a suitable partner for the man in Genesis 2, and where both are entrusted with the sacred duty to procreate in Genesis 1. Since God's design for married love is for the union of the couple and the procreation of children, human fertility is often caught up in divine laws, all established for our good. And of course, as the U.S. bishops wrote, this does not mean that God insists that every married couple leave their family size entirely to chance. However, it means that the husband and wife must seek to respect God's design. They must not do anything to suppress or curtail the life-giving power. Again, power, isn't that amazing? Given by God, that is an integral part of what they pledge to each other in the marriage vows. So we are fortunate. We're intelligent people. We are able to take back our power and our dignity, to learn self-mastery in the language of love. And we need to educate ourselves and read about these things, because there's more to our lives than the level of what our culture wants us to know. If we could just step a little bit above that and understand, why are we here? Why did God create us? What are we as human beings meant to be for God and for one another? It's so important that we learn and seek that knowledge, because that's the meaning of life. And we're on a journey, and we're going to be seeking that until we reach the heavenly gates of heaven.
And how providential that NFP Awareness Week ends on Saturday the 27th. With the feast day of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Beautiful.
And how even more providential, the Gospel from Matthew that day talks about a man who sowed good seed, and then an enemy came in and sowed weeds with it. And in the 1960s, the sexual revolution and the Gospel were under the same title, love. Phrases like make love, not war, or free love were common slogans in the 60s. But of course, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Well, it turns out that the two seeds of love were quite different. And they can be seen from a distance almost 50 years later, with the divorce rate, and children are reared less and less by their biological parents, and American society turned to abortion and contraception. And people even call NFP Catholic contraception, which is only a misunderstanding. This is another case of sowing wheat, NFP, and weeds, contraception, together. There's a strong anecdotal evidence that they're going to allow to be continue until the end, And contraceptive practice is inherently manipulative of one's body, but at the end, we will find the truth. So we need to return to God's vision of sexuality and marriage. And I ask you a question, or I'll let Betty read this, because this she found this on her own.
What vision of sexuality and marriage are you going to pass on to your children? Wheat or weeds? What is it going to be? And you will pass on to your children the gift of natural family planning if you practice it. Those people that practice NFP, they are handing it down to their children. It's a no-brainer. It's not difficult. People that are contracepting, out of ignorance, really, because we're living in a contraceptive mentality, are passing on that contraceptive mentality. What are you going to pass on to your children? Pass on the wheat and not the weeds.
It'll bear great bread and leaven for your family and feed you for all of eternity. In the meantime, as we come down to our final moment here, I would like to announce that tomorrow there's going to be a pro-life summit down at the cathedral from 9 a.m. to 12 noon, and it's going to discuss the HHS mandate on our Catholic response. It'll start at 9 a.m. with Mass in the Cathedral Chapel, celebrated by Archbishop Chaput, and then at 10 a.m. there's going to be a summit in the Pastoral Center with several speakers talking about political and judicial activity, Catholic individual and business owner, and what to do with health care insurance options, the effects of the Affordable Care Act, and the clinical effects of contraception on the female body. So starting at 9 a.m. tomorrow at Mass at the Cathedral, and we'll close in a prayer to the Holy Spirit. Breathe in me, Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I may be always holy. Amen. Celebrate Natural Family Planning Awareness Week. Talk to your deacons and your priests. Pray for natural family planning. And stay tuned and come visit us again next month. Thank you. God bless and have a great weekend.
Awesome.